Chapter 27. Valkyrie jumped in roughly a light second from the battleship and pinged the enemy commander. There was no immediate response, so we used the time productively, by blasting stray enemy missiles to dust. Those missiles posed no threat to us. They barely had enough fuel to reach our position, but that is no excuse for sloppiness. To be extra safe, we also used our maser cannons to disable the enemy battleship's cannons, railguns, missile launchers, and shield projectors. It was good live-fire practice for our gunnery crews, and reminded me that I missed Colonel Mamet's calm and confident presence on the bridge. "Skippy," I asked as I shifted in my chair, growing bored. "Is anybody alive over there?" "Yes. Casualties were relatively light, at least initially. Subsequent internal explosions have resulted in further loss of life, but the forward section of the hull is in fair condition."
"Then why aren't they responding? Their comms are down?"
"No, their communications array has sufficient power. My guess is they don't want to talk. Possibly they are feeling humiliated."
"Oh, I am so sick of worrying about their fragile freaking feelings."
"They can hear me, huh?" Mashing a thumb down on the transmit button, I cleared my throat. "I know you can hear me over there, so hear this. If I don't get a response in the next 20 seconds, we will start shooting railgun rounds through your hull."
15 seconds went by. Then we heard a simple, "Don't shoot."
"This is General Joe Bishop of the United Nations ship Valkyrie. Is..." An image slowly resolved to reveal a male Max Hulks wearing an admiral's uniform.
"We know who you are."
Even through the translator, the speaker's disdain was clear. His head was tilted back, so he was literally looking down his nose at me. That pissed me off.
"The arch-criminal bishop is well known to us," he added.
And that really pissed me off. Looking at my XO, so Sims could remind me to be cool and professional, instead I found Strebik seated next to me. I paused the transmission from our end.
"Strebik, this is usually where Sims talks me back from the ledge."
"Yes, sir," the former Maverick agreed. "Colonel Sims also told me that sometimes it is best to let Bishop be Bishop."
"Is this one of those times?"
She glared at the holographic image of the alien asshole who was waiting for me to reply.
"Hell yes, sir."
Before I stood up, I clicked the transmitter on again. "Hey, before we get started," I looked at the enemy commander and held up an index finger. "Can you ask your mama to please stop calling me? Seriously." I shook my head.
"What?"
The enemy commander was enraged, and from behind me I heard Strebik stifle a laugh.
"It's just embarrassing for her, you know?"
The enemy's nostrils flared as he took deep breaths. Either he had supreme self-control, or he ordered one of his glands to send a calming hormone into his bloodstream, because he recovered quickly.
"I should have known you would not know the basics of diplomacy."
"Hey, jackass, if you see me, diplomacy ain't working."
"You attacked us without provocation."
"Oh," it was my turn to laugh.
"Go fuck yourself, fuzzball."
His calm demeanor was slipping again. Maybe it was time for his glands to send more happy juice into his blood.
"That is tough talk from a coward. We did not see your ship participate in the battle."
"Ah," I shrugged off his attempt to get a reaction from me. "Valkyrie doesn't need to come off the bench when the Navy is only playing against the junior varsity."
It was a risk using an expression he might not understand, but Max Hulk's translation software is excellent. Besides, that wasn't a battle so much as a lesson.
"You got schooled the hard way."
Going into battle, one advantage Zhao knew we had was that Maxulk society is very top-down, especially their military. Commanders are expected to adhere to an approved set of tactics, with freelancing severely restricted. Everything the Maxulks did during the battle was predictable, except for the desperation tactics at the end when it didn't matter. Valkyrie had not participated in the battle. The enemy had not even known we were there as a reserve. So why had Zhao sent me in to deliver a message? Partly because he didn't have time. His ships needed to burn their engines for the next 4 hours, so when they jumped in near the target planet, they wouldn't zoom past so quickly they couldn't maneuver into orbit. Mostly, he was sending a message. Two messages, actually.
The first was that the United Nations Navy could take on a Maxulk's battle group without direct assistance from Valkyrie. The second was that the enemy might never know whether Valkyrie was lurking in the shadows or not. That notion would hopefully make adventurous enemy commanders think twice about starting some shit. "We're not going to assist you," I continued before the bad kitty could respond. "We don't have the time, and our medical facilities aren't set up for your people anyway. Your support ship is intact, and our scans show you have plenty of dropships to ferry between ships. When we get to the planet, we'll let your clients know you need assistance out here." His face instantly flashed from anger to fear.
"We would prefer..."
"Oh, you don't want us to tell your very loyal clients that your ships out here are drifting without main power, unable to move, and defenseless? Gosh, I can't imagine any downside to that."
"You can't..."
"I meant no downside for us. You fuzzballs could be screwed. But hey, maybe you should have treated your clients better, huh? Well, it's been nice chatting with you. We gotta run. Bye!" I waved with one hand, and with the other hand, crooked a finger at the pilot. We jumped away. Joe, Skippy called for my attention. "What?" I asked, expecting him to reprimand me for being unprofessional. "While you and Admiral Fuzzball over there were blah-blah-blah-lying, I took a tour of their database. Just a casual thing. We weren't close enough for me to have my way with the enemy AI, you know." I shared a glance with Strebik. She shrugged in a this-is-all-new-to-me gesture. "How did you ransack their database from that distance?"
"I didn't ransack it, numbskull. Just skimmed the surface."
"Yeah, but still. I wanted to know because I was impressed. Also, so maybe we could do it again in the future. That's a top-level AI, and we were a light second away. I know you can extend your presence, but there was nothing particularly magical about it, Joe. I mean, nothing magical for me. Communications channels are interrupted all through that ship from battle damage. I hacked into a distribution node and had it ping the central AI with requests to repeat its instructions several times because the signals were supposedly garbled." He snickered. "The AI was super annoyed with that node. Anyway, with all the back-and-forth traffic, I was able to insert a snippet of malicious code that gave me high-level access." Looking at Strebik again, I cocked my head at her. "In case you haven't heard, Skippy is awesome." "As awesome as he thinks he is?" she asked with a twinkle in her eyes. "Oh," I laughed, "not even close."
"Hey," Skippy fumed at me. "You jerk. I should..."
"What did you find in the database, oh greatest of all great ones?" "I should make you issue a formal apology," he sniffed. "But, as this info is time sensitive, that will have to wait. I found two things of interest, Joe. Three, actually. The item of immediate interest is I discovered the locations of two Maxulk star carriers, the ones assigned to the task force here, or..." He chuckled. "What used to be a task force?" "Outstanding. Damn, Skippy, every time I think you've reached the limit of your awesomeness, you surprise me again." "It's what I do, Joe." "Uh-huh." I suppressed an instinct to roll my eyes. "You said this info is time-sensitive?" "Yes, photons from the recent battle will reach the nearest star carrier within 11 minutes. "Shit. Can you load the... "Coordinates are already in the jump navigation systems," he announced with less smugness than usual, and the main display zoomed out to highlight a site farther from the star system. "XO, signal the fleet that we need to run to the shore for beer." "Weps," I turned to Mame, only the officer at the weapons station wasn't him. Comescu. I remembered the guy's name without needing to read the name tag. "After we jump, anything in weapons range will be unfriendly, so fire at will. Disable if you can, but don't take any risks." "Aye, General." "Signal away," Strebik confirmed. "Pilot, jump option Alpha. Punch it." We sliced apart one Maxulk star carrier, then another. I won't bother with details because neither engagement was much of a battle. The kiddies had specified precise locations for the star carriers to maintain. I guess they figured if their task force needed to bug out, they had to latch onto a star carrier real quick. So all we had to do was emerge from jump with our damping field generators hot, trap the enemy space trucks, and slice them apart. When I say we sliced apart, our goal actually was not to destroy those ships or kill their crews. We satisfied ourselves with knocking out their jump drives without blowing up their capacitors. That was the new, kinder and gentler Merry Band of Pirates. Destroying those ships wouldn't accomplish anything, while showing mercy to non-combat vessels might be useful in future negotiations. All we needed to do was prevent those star carriers from warning other task forces that we had attacked them instead of the other way around. Okay. I clapped my hands after we jumped away from the second star carrier, which was no longer capable of carrying anything anywhere. Good job, people. Especially you, Skippy. Thanks for the info. You didn't ask me about the two other pieces of info I discovered, Joe. We were kinda busy, but yeah, good point. What else did you find? Well, just the disposition of Maxalt's forces within 2,300 light-years of here. That time he was extra smug. Holy... You're serious? Yes. Everything in that bubble is under the command of one admiral, so every ship in the area knows where the other task forces are, and where they are not. The Kitties spread themselves thin for this operation. Not every important Bosphorok star system is covered. Most of their fleet is deployed in defense against a sneak attack from the Rindaloo. I wondered how Admiral Zhao would feel about that. Raiding a star system that did not have a Maxalt's task force hanging around would be simpler and safer if all we cared about was pounding Bosphorok planets from orbit. Really, other than getting video to boost morale back home, the Navy did not give a shit about the bird brains. The clients of the Maxalt's were not the problem for us. The rotten Kitties were. It would be Zhao's call what to do with the information. That is some outstanding work, Skippy. You said you found another thing? Yes. This is not useful from a tactical sense, but very interesting, and potentially dangerous. The Spiders have issued a formal complaint and a warning to the Kitties. A task force of Rindaloo ships was investigating a wormhole. You know, one of the ones we crashed. He said with a nervous catch in his voice. Damn it, most of the time it is good that Skippy sucks at lying. Yeah, haha, that was awesome, huh? I quickly covered for him. What about it? The task force disappeared. All the Spiders know is those ships failed to arrive at a scheduled rendezvous. They sent more ships out to track the missing task force, and a squadron of the search and rescue ships also went missing. Of course, the Spiders are alarmed. They accuse the Maxalt's of being responsible. Damn it, that's not good. We're trying to get them to talk with us, not shoot at each other. Crap. Did you find evidence that the Maxalt's did it? No, you haven't heard the worst part yet. Skippy cautioned. The Maxalt's know they didn't do it, so they think we are responsible. Us? Yes, the Merry Band of Pirates. Oh no, I groaned. Well, that makes no sense. Why the Maxalt's intel people think we are trying to get a low-grade war going between the two senior species, so they will each be more eager to cut a deal with us. If they are shooting at each other, they can't afford to be distracted by the threat from humans. Oh, crap. Wow, that is some Emily Perkins-level deviousness. Hell, maybe we should have thought of doing that. It's too late now, Joe. Wait, you said the Maxalt's know they didn't do it? Yes. Well, hell, we didn't do it either. Who else could have attacked a Rindaloo task force? Shit. Skippy's shiny face turned a paler shade of silver. Uh-oh. Skippy, Strebik spoke. You said the Maxalt's know they didn't do it. How do you know that they know? Well, he instinctively went into his I am explaining complicated stuff to monkeys mode. Their fleet command issued an alert for all units to avoid unnecessary contact with Rindaloo ships and to avoid crossing through or even coming close to enemy territory, especially to avoid Rindaloo space in the area of the wormhole crash. They want to prevent any sort of provocation. This alert was in a fleet-wide broadcast? Yes, in the clear, with flash priority. The Kitty leaders are anxious that every ship in their fleet gets the message ASAP. Strebik nodded and looked at me. Sir? Yeah, XO, if you're thinking what I'm thinking, you've been hanging around Perkins too long. Skippy jammed his little hands on his hips and glared. Will someone please tell me what you're thinking? The Maxalt's are protesting too loudly, Strebik explained. They did conduct a secret attack against the Spiders, and they're pretending to know nothing about it. Why would the Kitties hit the Spiders? Skippy was mystified. They just got the shit kicked out of them.
Retaliation? I shrugged.
An isolated group of ships is a tempting target, and the kiddies had to know their enemy has ships investigating those wormholes we crashed. All they need to do is plant ships there and wait.
But, I shook my head.
That's too simple. If I was a Jarraptha, I'd wager the Maxulks are blaming us, so the Rindaloo will be more reluctant to cut a deal with us.
Shit! I freaking hate politics!
Okay. I took a deep breath to calm myself. We need to get this info to Zhao, then to the negotiation team. Chotek will know how to handle it. Skippy, is there any way you can plant a virus, find evidence that the kiddies destroyed that task force?
Wow, that would be difficult.
It probably won't matter, Joe. Neither side will believe any information provided by me. They will assume I faked it. Hey, if you want, I can just do that.
No, you're right. Evidence doesn't mean anything.
All right, we're done here. Let's rejoin the Third Fleet. The Third Fleet pounded Tassa for Donda. Zhao sent three of his battle cruisers into orbit, slinging railgun darts and firing maser beams at hard targets on and under the surface, while two of the other courageous class warships engaged Bosphorok ships and the patchy layer of strategic defense satellites. The remaining two battle cruisers and the destroyers were held in reserve, with Glorious and Liberté designated as reserves because they were repairing battle damage. Zhao allowed a Bosphorok ship to jump away, assuming it would scurry off to summon help from the Maxulks. As expected, that ship jumped back 7 minutes later, transmitting a message that the inhabitants of the planet should not expect their patrons to rescue them. 12 minutes later, Zhao received a plea for a ceasefire from the surface. He ignored it. The Third Fleet wasn't there to negotiate for anything. Our ships were there for retribution, pure and simple. Or not so simple. Unlike when the Ruhar had raided Earth, the Third Fleet had a more difficult job. The Bosphorok didn't have many large power generation facilities with exposed and vulnerable transmission lines. The only planet that relied on such a primitive electric grid like that was Earth. On Tassa for Donda, power was generated by windmills, undersea turbines that harnessed tidal power, and lots of solar panels that made up the roofs of almost all buildings. For backup power, there were fusion reactors dotted all around the planet, with most reactors no larger than a 40-foot shipping container. Plus, satellites in orbit collected solar power and beamed it to antennas on the ground by microwaves. To truly knock the planet back into the Stone Age, the Third Fleet had to strike an impractical number of targets. It would take months to burn out even a third of the solar panels on the surface, and Zhao ruled out strikes against reactors to avoid long-term radiation damage to the biosphere. He also avoided hitting civilian population centers. Those rules of engagement still left plenty of targets for his ship's big guns. After broadcasting a warning and giving time for bird brains on the ground to get clear of the target areas, the Third Fleet left smoking craters where every military base, spaceport, and airport used to be. Factories were left in ruins. Any major bridge across a river was dropped into the water below. Maser cannons melted roadways into slag. Government buildings were shattered after a reasonable amount of time for the bird brains to clear out. For 2.5 hours, Zhao's battlecruisers rained destruction down on that hapless world. The Third Fleet had been sent to deliver a message. The Bosphorok received that message loud and clear. They also understood their arrogant asshole patrons could not protect them in the future, that the United Nations Navy was not afraid of the rotten kiddies, that we were hunting for the Maxulks. Zhao pulled his ships back, not because they had run out of targets or because railguns were running low on ammo, but to give his crews a rest and to give the ships a break for minor maintenance. Maser exciters and railgun magnets needed to cool down before they could be inspected for microfractures. He also paused the bombardment to give the public on the surface an opportunity to be shocked by the destruction before they became numb to it. That was a delicate balance. Since the raid was really a psyops campaign, the bombardment could not go on for too long, or it would become the new normal, a cost of doing business. We did not want that. So after the shooting stopped, Zhao initiated the second phase of the psyops campaign by sending a pre-recorded broadcast to the population. The message was, we are retaliating for their attack against Earth, which was a truly stupid move by the Bosphorok government. The Maxulks can't protect their clients from our wrath. The Maxulks can't even protect themselves. If the Boss Farrakh want to verify that statement, they can look at the shattered remains of a powerful Maxalt's battle group just outside the star system. We know the Maxalt's are ultimately responsible for the attack against Earth, and we will be dealing with them next. The next time their asshole patrons tried to coerce the Boss Farrakh into doing something stupid, the Birdbrains had better think twice about it. Whatever the Maxalt's can do as punishment for disobedience, we can do worse if they obey. Both humans and the kiddies can conduct impressive orbital bombardments, but only we can crash a wormhole network. Finally, while we are not looking for a mutual defense treaty with the Boss Farrakh, we might be interested in the ceasefire agreement. So, if the Maxalt's demand their clients hit Earth again or do anything similarly suicidal, the Boss Farrakh should contact us before they make a decision. We might be able to persuade the rotten kiddies to stop bullying their clients. If the Boss Farrakh wanted evidence of how persuasive we could be, they should stay tuned for more information. The Third Fleet jumped away, and Valkyrie joined them. Because our respective speeds made a ship-to-ship rendezvous impractical, I got into a Panther dropship and endured a 3G burn to match speed with Zhao's flagship. He was in a good, even jubilant mood when I arrived, while my top was stuck to my back from sweat, even though I changed into a fresh uniform before leaving the dropship. Whatever. I wasn't there for a fashion show. Zhao was excited to have data on the disposition of enemy forces in the area, and his staff quickly rushed off to prepare a list of options for the next strike. My own suggestions were attached if anyone cared. Zhao was not excited about hearing the rotten kiddies were framing us for an attack against the spiders. Or I guess he was excited, but in a bad way. He agreed we needed to inform Earth and the negotiation team about the issue. But first, the Third Fleet had a lot more pain to deliver. For the second strike, Zhao selected a target that was also at the top of my list. Another Boss Farrakh star system with one sparsely populated habitable planet that was mostly used as a base for mining the nearby asteroid belt. The fleet could conduct a spectacular-looking bombardment from orbit without risking damage from a strategic defense network, because that unimportant world didn't have one. Most of the valuable facilities were in or near the asteroid belt, where a cluster of strategic defense satellites protected ore processing plants and servicing bases for the fleet of mostly robotic mining ships. What put that star system at the top of the list was the presence of a Maxalt's task force, and the fact that Skippy could create a wormhole shortcut directly there from Tassa Fordanda. We had to get there quickly before the kiddies got word that we were hunting for their task forces and they set a trap for the Third Fleet. Skippy did his shortcut trick, which seriously impressed Admiral Zhao. The destroyers, again led by Boston, scouted the area, but the enemy task force was right where Skippy's intel said we would find them. This time, Zhao changed tactics. He sent two pairs of battlecruisers to knock out the waiting star carriers, then those four battlecruisers jumped back to join the main body of the strike force. Again, Valkyrie waited nearby as a reserve, and again we were not needed. The Third Fleet took very little damage, partly because the ship AIs and crews were more experienced, and partly because the opposition was comparatively light. There were no enemy battleships or battlecruisers. The task force was a cruiser squadron with a mix of heavy and light ships, plus a handful of frigates. Only two strafing passes were needed before Zhao released his ships for a general pursuit. Within 18 minutes of the Third Fleet jumping in, the entire enemy force was disabled or destroyed. Space combat is extraordinarily violent, and things happen fast. Except for situations where the defense is augmented by cannons on a planet or an SD network, whoever hits first generally has an advantage. Whoever hits first largely depends on who has the better intel on location, type, and number of enemy forces. Who has the better intel usually depends on whoever has the better intelligence-gathering capability, which in our case is a sarcastic beer can. Advantage? Filthy monkeys. Battle damage to the Third Fleet was limited to minor hits on two battlecruisers, plus the destroyer Mombasa lost its nose when it flew directly into the path of an enemy railgun volley that was aimed at the Independence. Next, we jumped in to pound the only inhabited planet in the system, pairs of battlecruisers taking turns bombarding the surface, while the others waited in stealth in case the local Boss Farrakh warships decided they were more brave than smart. They weren't. The only attempt at interference was a Birdbrain destroyer squadron jumping in half a light minute away, launching railgun darts, and immediately making like a shepherd by getting the flock out of there. Their attack must have been done for pride, because it sure didn't accomplish anything useful for their side. The battlecruisers in orbit detected the incoming darts and altered course almost casually to dodge the threat. After inevitably missing their targets, five of the 24 darts impacted the planet, with two splashing down in the ocean and creating a tsunami that flooded a nearby coastal city. Skippy calculated that the Bosphorak caused more casualties on the surface than we did, a fact that Zhao added to his post-strike transmission. When we jumped away, the big question was whether to go for a three-peat, declare the Third Fleet's mission accomplished and jump for home, or continue our shock and awe campaign while we still had the advantage of surprise. Even the gunnery crews of the battlecruisers were growing bored and uneasy about making craters on the surface of defenseless worlds. It didn't seem sporting, even if sporting is kind of a bullshit notion in a life-and-death fight. Zhao decided, after a minimum of debate within his staff, to make at least one more statement before he took his ships back to base for replenishment and refit. The choice of target for the third strike was a heavily populated and well-defended Bosphorak world, which made absolutely no difference to us. We had no intention of growing mushrooms, as the gunnery teams called it, because railgun strikes create mushroom clouds. Colonel Mamay had told me it is unusual for artillery teams or wet Navy ship gunnery crews to see what they're shooting at. Often their targets are over the horizon or over the next hill. With orbital bombardments, the people aiming and firing our railguns could usually see the flash of impact, then watch the top of a mushroom cloud boiling up toward the ship. If it was a heavy strike, like when the crews cranked up the power of the railgun, the top of the cloud flattened out when it reached the stratosphere and created a long overhang downwind. The first time a new member of the gunnery team saw that, there was fist pumping and high fives. Later, when the level of destruction available at their fingertips sank in, the gunnery stations tended to be quiet. Anyway, our target there was not the planet, or facilities in orbit. We didn't intend to engage the Bosphorak at all. Our target was the Heavy Maxulk's task force lurking nearby. A task force that included the flagship of the Admiral in command of that whole sector. Yes, that Admiral was about to experience a little thing I like to call a very bad day. Surprise, assholes. For the third attack, Zhao adjusted tactics again. Our stealthy destroyers hopped around, locating not only the main body of the enemy force, but also their scouting squadron. We quickly discovered the kiddies had a squadron of frigates conducting a scouting exercise, which made it easy for us because they weren't actually looking for us. It appeared the commander of that task force was using their enforced downtime to exercise her ships, because the frigate squadron was split into one ship acting as the aggressor and five ships searching for it. While the defender force was focused on finding the designated aggressor, they weren't paying much attention to their overall surroundings. Clearly, the Maxulks of that task force were not expecting trouble, unless it was trouble they started. That told us they hadn't heard about our previous attacks. Valkyrie joined in the scouting, with Skippy enhancing both the ship's stealth and sensors, and we pinpointed the location of all but three enemy cruisers. Maybe those cruisers had been detached to serve elsewhere and Skippy's info was out of date. Zhao had to weigh the risk of those cruisers appearing at the wrong time, and he had to consider that the situation might have changed. Changed radically, and not in our favor. There might be a whole other task force out there waiting to ambush us after we ambushed the flagship. We didn't have any evidence of that, just a general sense that we had been lucky so far, and that after two successful attacks, the kiddies could very well have received notice about the shocking news that our ships were hunting for them. None of the ships we hit in the previous attacks could have moved, so an alert would have required the Bosphorak to sound the alarm. Personally, I was betting that although the Birdbrains had a duty to warn their patrons, they might not be especially eager to do so in a timely manner, if you know what I mean. The Bosphorak could be secretly happy to give us time to beat the shit out of their patrons as long as they eventually reported the attacks. I mean, that's what I would do. Time was a critical factor. At any moment, news of recent events could reach the target task force and our whole strategy would have to be reconsidered. Zhao had a long talk with all of his captains, including me, about the condition of our ships and asked Skippy to provide his analysis. After continuous operations, two fast and furious ship-to-ship battles, and two bombardments, the ships of the Third Fleet were experiencing wear and tear on vital components, and accumulating both battle damage and a squawk list of maintenance items that needed to be taken care of. Glorious was in the worst shape, having an entire bank of shield generators that had jury-rigged power connections. Nevertheless, every captain urged Zhao to go forward with the attack. We might not get such an opportunity again, and blasting two other task forces had whet everyone's appetite to truly give the kiddies a beatdown they wouldn't soon forget. Zhao is a serious, careful, professional leader. He is also commander of a military force that goes in harm's way so the people of Earth don't have to. When he saw the target-rich environment waiting for us, no way could he pass up the opportunity. The mission was a go.